A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. It's tired Jack and tired.
Pick up the energy.
And tired Ross.
It's time for payback.
Andrew, are you tired? Are you all right? You seem pretty bloody hell. Jesus.
I hate myself.
What's happened? What's wrong?
It's been busy, hasn't it? You've been away anyway. You've had other things to do. It's just all come at once, this, hasn't it? There's a lot of wrestling within two weeks.
I can't believe this, the audacity of the wrestling world to have two pay-per-views after All In.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
It is. It is.
Especially Tony. What are you doing, Tony? But we're not here to talk about Tony. We're here to talk about Paul.
Paul.
And his wonderful card, or is it an underdeveloped card so far for payback?
To be sure,
it's a massive fetus, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
It's a big old dirty fetus. Hasn't really sprouted its limbs yet. We're waiting for the exit from the birth canal.
Yeah, but I mean, we've had, because I was saying this to Adam, like, it doesn't feel that long since SummerSlam, but it has been a month pretty much. So there has been like enough build to towards this show, but there's only like 6 matches on the card. As it stands.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not.
And to be fair as well, it's worth mentioning that the build was put slightly, partly on hold due to the nature of the Bray Wyatt tribute episode of SmackDown and everything.
Yeah.
So that kind of, and the Terry Funk tribute, I should mention as well. But that it didn't stop all the storylines, but understandably, some parts of the show were presented differently to how they would have been.
Yeah. Mm.
But we are here to present our 9 wonderful pitches for Payback 2023 in, I believe, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Ross is going to go first, then Andrew, then myself. We'll go round 3 times and be left with 3 wonderful pitches. But remember the golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Pick it up, Ross!
I had people...
There we go.
some of the people watching me record What Happened Out Live heckled me with that. One person went, "There's no way they can go," and then like 3 more. Ooh,
and then you just,
what the hell do you mean?
Oh, he hates them.
They pay your bills, young man.
I'm only.
I was. It was a difficult video to get through, but I talked to them all afterwards, and everyone was lovely. Yeah. Really positive experiences with the viewers. Thanks, viewers. Only 2 people mentioned the Italian restaurant. Ross, your
only
first.
Only 2.
That's I was shocked. Yeah.
Because you can't get out with that one.
Can I have your first pitch, please, as long as it doesn't involve Italian cuisine?
It doesn't, no. We learned on this week's Raw that Mammy said that if the Judgment Day don't win the tag team titles at Payback, then changes will be made to the faction known as the Judgment Day, because over the last couple of months, she has proved beyond any shadow of any doubt that she is the boss. JD Muck, don't Google me, is at ringside for this tag team title match because Finn Balor has invited him down there. Damien Priest is like, what the hell, man? But he carries on with the match in a begrudging manner because he wants to win the gold for his family, like he's Vin Diesel in the Fast and the Furious franchise. Yeah. It's all about the family. The match is going along swimmingly, and with JD Muck, don't Muck Google me interfering, doing good things on the Judgment Day's behalf, you can see Rhea's like, ah, yes, I like what I see from you, little Funko Pop boy. But the other two are a little bit different in their reactions to that. Shut up, watch. we get to the point.
This is too mad, isn't this?
I thought it'd be a nice birthday present. I can't work it out.
What is it? What was it telling you there?
It's Apple Watch. I don't know. leave me alone. Right. Anyway.
You were suggesting a booking change. Are you sure you want
to? Remember during the podcast, it went off as well. I couldn't work out how to turn it off.
Ah, yes.
Sat there for 5 minutes, trying to work it out. Down the Apple Watches. Anyway, we get to the point towards the end of the match where Kevin Owens is up on the top rope for a big moose here, thinking, you know what's coming, a swanton bomb maybe, which would lead into the finish for the match and the champions to retain. But all of a sudden, a figure wearing a black hoodie and black thing covering their face simply pushes KO off the top turnbuckle, which in turn allows Finn Balor to get the win for the Judgment Day. New champions. We've just had several months of a breakup angle with the Bloodline, and we don't need to do the same thing with the Judgment Day just now. Not a conclusive one anyway. Damian Priest is looking happy because JD Don't McGoogle Me was not involved, not the one to get involved in the finish, but he's also confused because he doesn't know who actually was the one to get involved with the finish. Finn is looking a bit angry because it's someone new and not his little Funko Pop boy who got the assist. And Rhea and Dom, well, they're looking smug AF, my dogs, because they had a master plan and it's paid off. And this is where we run back the re-debut of Rhea Ripley as a Judgment Day member back from Backlash 2022, where she was down on her knee like in the Undertaker pose, and Edge was like, oh! And then she took her hood off and revealed it to be her. She's now obviously in the Edge role, and we do the same thing with this master assailant. And who is it, everybody? It's Joe Gacy. He's a fantastic wrestler with a crap gimmick, but a gimmick that could be tweaked to fit the Judgment Day, in my opinion. He's a spooky man. He's a crap cult leader slash cult member slash tree fetishist, all of the above. But this can be tweaked to fit the Judgment Day. I've not watched this week's NXT because we're sat here on Wednesday morning, but we saw the Dyad lose their match last night in NXT, which I assume means they're now, well, they're leaving, aren't they, next month, in the next month. Sure. So that's going to leave Joe Gacy with Ava Rain. Ava Rain should not be on television at all at this point.
Oh, hey.
It's true, though. So I think Joe Gacy's going to be sat there spinning his wheels in NXT for the foreseeable. So let's make the best of an iffy situation for him and get him up on the main roster as the loose cannon kind of thing in the Judgment Day. Rhea, this is where the thing makes it interesting, in my opinion, because she's just saying to Finn and Priest, the new tag team champions, you're welcome, lads. It's my way or the highway, going back to the fact that she's really established herself as the boss in the Judgment Day. It sort of continues the infighting because now Priest and Balor are the tag team champions, but they, because of that, they can't really leave. And JD Don't McGoogle Me is still on the outskirts of the faction looking inwards. Will the lads like it or lump it? Find out next week for more.
Well, it's a yes from me, because I like the developments there, and I like the several options you've got going forwards as well. One thing, is Gacy cool enough to be in the Judgment Day? Because
He wears those yellow shades like Oliver Reed.
Yeah, he does, but...
with his tattooed cock. I said the right name there, Jill? The actor. Oliver with his tattooed Reed. Phallus.
Which actor?
What he played the bad lad in Oliver Twist, and then he died filming Gladiators. Not Gladiators, Gladiator.
No.
Films.
It's Oliver Reed, isn't it? I've just got plucked the wrong name.
No, look.
I've gone for the big but one. I've gone for the jugular. I might have got a bit wrong.
But it's a yes. It's a yes for me anyway. Yes, he is cool enough, you reckon?
I think he is. They've just given a really bad gimmick, haven't they?
Yeah,
NXT?
And it's a yes from me because I was really excited when he got announced that he was going to be in WWE and then going to be on NXT, and then everything with it, like you said, his gimmick happened, and then I've just, as a viewer, I've just lost interest in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd rather see the shakeup like this and him just being put into the Judgment Day is like tremendous for him, because it'll do so much to elevate him back into a place where everyone can go, he's pretty bloody good, him. He's pretty bloody good, him. So yeah, it's
easy to forget in the midst of all those promos that he's a really good wrestler. It is
Oliver Reed.
I was just about to say, is there a picture of said...
Well, he's wearing the glasses.
Pee-pee. Oh, glasses.
Right.
Yeah, no, the glasses. Yeah, that's what I meant.
No, I don't know if there is. I just remember watching an interview with him where he was like, yes, this is what happened.
He played.
Look how ready he is.
He played Proximo.
He drank a lot of alcohol.
Oh dear.
He was known for his Hellraiser lifestyle. It said there.
Yeah.
Hellraiser. It's two yeses there.
Get in.
Andrew's yes, in baby. And a great mood. So I'm excited to see
why. I'm trying to pick.
Is that an anime
up?
Character?
It's just a. It's like Akira, but with a cat.
Tozawa.
Akira Tozawa.
Could I have your first payback pitch, please?
Most certainly can, young man. So we're going over to SmackDown this Friday, and we see a four-way tag team match take place to determine who will be the next contenders for those lovely WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. Obviously going out of what happens anyway at the weekend, the winners of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, in this match, we have two teams from Raw and two teams from SmackDown. We've got Riddle and McIntyre and the Viking Raiders from the Red Brand and the Street Profits and the Brawling Brews from the Blue Brand. Backstage, we see Riddle buzzing around McIntyre like an annoying, energetic fly as McIntyre tries to calm his partner down, telling him to focus on the task at hand tonight. Riddle continues, however, but this leads Drew to... He snaps a little bit at Matt. He grabs Matt by the scruff of the neck before letting a startled Riddle go. McIntyre kind of like shakes it off and he apologizes and tells Riddle that if he doesn't start taking things seriously, he's done. He's out. Don't want out to do with him, right? Match time comes on Friday and we can visibly see how frustrated McIntyre is becoming with Riddle as his partner fails to reach for tags when he's close by. Drew tags himself in because he believes his partner just can't get the job done. Anyway, we get to the end of the match and Drew leans into the corner. He's ready to hit the Claymore on Angelo Dawkins, only for Riddle to tag himself in. The two argue, this causing Montez Ford to toss McIntyre over the ropes from behind, and then Angelo hoys Riddle up, and then the Profits do that nice revelation maneuver that they do, their finishing maneuver. 1, 2, 3, the Street Profits have won. And after the match, Riddle tries to reach out and apologize to McIntyre, but this time he properly snaps for real and just doesn't relent. A Glasgow kiss and a Claymore combo definitively put an end to this pairing as a seething McIntyre exits up the rampway. Now, I've got to swallow, sorry. We cut to Payback and we go to the Grayson Waller effect with Cody Rhodes as well. Grayson asks the question that's on everyone's mind, what's next for Cody to conquer after Brock Lesnar? Now, Cody talks about
very
how...
Very cordial from Grayson Waller there.
Very nice, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Well, Cody talks about how great Seth is as a World Heavyweight Champion, how there's still some unfinished business with the Judgment Day, but ultimately his mind and heart are set on one thing, and that's finishing the story and beating Roman Reigns. But Grayson, being the little bugger that he is, right, he tries to make crafty jibes at Rhodes, though. Like, after all, he lost on the grandest stage of them all and got rubber chickened. But Cody, being Cody, he just deflects it and turns it into an impassioned promo about how that might deflate any other superstar beaten by Reigns. But this is just the fuel for his fire to get back up and try again. And he will try again. However, since Reigns isn't here tonight and since he and Grayson are standing in the ring right now, whoa, he's got to keep himself all limber, ready to go, you know what I mean? So let's have a match. Right here, tonight, right now.
Just come on now.
Whoa, so many Yorkshire shenanigans.
Whoa,
going on there.
So many.
So
many elbows.
Grayson knows, you know. No, Cody knows.
Cody knows, yes. He's from Halifax.
Yeah, he is, yeah. whoa, Grayson says, hang on just a minute. I got a call just before we came out here from someone who was dying to get a chance to talk to you. So I invited them to come on the show. Let's bring out our second guest. As Grayson gestures towards the Tron, a puzzled Cody looks on before slap of the thigh. a Claymore kick to the back of the head from Drew McIntyre. By heck, who'd have seen it after all the preposition of what happened before? I'm not going to get you. Grayson... Sorry,
I
spat everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Grayson laughs, but a quick glance from Drew shows that he's not messing around. So he bolts out of the ring and away from the scene. Drew cuts a promo on Cody, talking about how similar their stories are. But unlike Cody, Drew has held the WWE title before. In a time when the company needed it the most, he carried WWE on its back whilst also defending the championship at any given opportunity. And for what? To get tossed aside for the next best plaything in Cody Rhodes, to get thrown into a tag team with a joke of a partner and never truly getting his moment when in the title in front of a live crowd, showered in the adulation he truly deserves. Well, no. You're naive, Cody, if you think you've got what it takes, and you're naive if you think you're the only one who has a story to finish. And then it's Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes. Next is the feud to go forward. Which is difficult because you kind of don't want Drew losing either.
No,
at
you
this
don't.
Point coming back.
That's my stick. I'm fully on board with the heel turn, fully on board. But if the narrative is going to, or the story is going to be finished next April, surely Drew has to lose the feud overall.
Which is, yeah.
It's It's one of them for me because I really like the presentation of it. It's not a full no because it is good, and I like the justification from either man, but also it's Cody's I don't want either to lose. And also, it's very similar to one of mine.
Oh no! You might have done it better.
But that's not why I've given it
you tell yourself.
I'm trying to say it's not my first one though, okay. So we'll wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
My first one. I left my lenses at home, so I'm going to... And people say sometimes that I hold this really close to my face and I've knocked them in.
It's understandable.
We're old men here now.
Yeah, we are. The Judgment Day lose their tag team title match after arguing between Balor and Priest. Zayn / KO leave them alone in the ring. Balor shoves Priest and berates him again. In his view, he's made another mistake that's cost them another match. Priest lays him out with the briefcase. He's had enough. Bang! Excuse me. JD McDonagh runs down as Priest hits Balor again and again with the briefcase until JD grabs Balor's leg and pulls him out the ring to safety. He helps Finn up the ramp while Priest stands in the ring. And in the words of every Scouse person, he is
human.
Thank you, Andrew. On the next episode of Raw, Rhea and Dom meet with Priest in the ring. Why did you do that? We were the strongest force in WWE, and now we're falling apart. Priest says that he just can't trust Finn Balor. He's never been the same ever since Priest won that Money in the Bank briefcase, and also keeps trying to involve his mate from back home in the Judgment Day's business, and that's why, to settle things once and for all, he wants to face Finn tonight. So the main event of Raw, Finn versus Priest. Maybe I think no DQ is probably the best stipulation for this because they're getting more and more vicious as it goes on, while Rhea and Dom are at ringside looking conflicted and sad. Well, I don't know if Rhea does sad, but she's probably angry about what's going on. Dom can look devastated. He's like, no! At one point, Balor wraps a chair around Priest's neck and heads up for a big stomp off the top. Dom shouts, no, no, this is too far. He looks down at Dom and argues back, and this gives Priest a chance to recover, and he hits him with the chair and the match carries on. A little bit later, the positions are reversed. Now the chair's around Balor's neck and Priest's ready to leap off with, I've put like a leg drop, but I don't know what he actually does from the, not really a high flying.
450, I think.
Yeah. Shooting star press.
Dom again is like, oh, Priest, no, don't be doing that. Rhea doesn't know what to do. She has her head in her hands, which means she misses JD McDonagh running down to ringside and once again, bailing Balor out, getting him out of there. He walks Balor up the ramp. The crowd are all booing because the match is over. But it's only Raw, don't worry, it's not. Okay. But they're all booing because the match is over and this gets all the heat on JD for stopping the action, stopping the viciousness. The following week, Rhea, Priest and Dom all call out Balor to the ring. This has gone too far. They're all acting crazy. Last week's match got a bit out of control. Now they need to talk this out like adults. Here comes Balor, but immediately you hear the other members of the Judgment Day start complaining on the mic as JD walks out behind him on the ramp. They're like, what is he doing here? They get in the ring, but there's a big gap between the two groups. Just like the emotional space between them as well.
Wow.
Even Rhea, who's been trying to hold the group together, now has to admit that this problem is right in front of them. The problem isn't the briefcase, and it's not jealousy. The problem is JD. JD steps forward into this space in the middle and starts arguing with the Judgment Day, but as he does so, he has his back completely to Finn Balor. Seeing this, Priest raises his mic and says, now. Everybody stops. But Balor does nothing. He's confused. Pele kick from JD to Balor.
Oh my God, it's a callback.
Yo.
So they're next to the Adam Cole one. Yeah. Get that fly away from me now. Get that fly away. And everybody's, I know, yeah. And
Pele kick?
Yeah. And everyone beats up Finn Balor. It's all, up, it was all a ruse with like 7 U's. Over the following weeks, we learn that since Priest won the briefcase, the Judgment Day realized themselves that Balor was their weak link. Rhea's the most dominant woman around in the women's division. Dom is the greatest North American champion in history. And Priest is the next in line for a world title because he's got the briefcase. They needed to get Balor out and replace him with someone just as twisted and ruthless as them. And given his history in NXT, that's JD McDonagh. This leads to several possible future matches. Balor versus JD, obviously. Also, I thought a mixed tag match, Rhea and Dom versus maybe Balor and Becky Lynch, because I think Becky was trained by Balor like his pal.
Yeah, she's been talking about that, yeah.
And anyway, it all leads to Survivor Series. Finn, Becky, and the Brawling Brutes versus the Judgment Day and a mystery ally that we'll get to later on.
Oh, hello.
Wait, I just need to check. Did I actually include it in a future pitch? I don't know if I did. Maybe, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how the last bit, yeah.
I'll try a babyface Balor on for size with a Triple H regime. It was awful in the Vince McMahon times, but we saw on NXT way back in the day.
Yeah.
That's like 7 years ago now. Yeah. The babyface Finn Balor under Triple H, it works. So I'll try it on. I'll try it on, see how it fits.
I'll try it on as well, because we've not broken up necessarily all of Judgment Day. We've just excavated one person from it, which is quite cool. And also, I think it's a good way to like elevate other members within the Judgment Day too.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, you've already got the women's world champion in there.
They're not here. It's okay. You don't need to.
No. But I really like it. I did not see the swerve come in there.
I'd just like to apologize for what I said during your Grayson Waller one, I've realized, because I went very polite of Grayson Waller, and then he betrayed him.
Yeah, it's all good, isn't it? I won't worry about it.
Just you were being nice about mine, and
that's
I thought.
Fine. I thought it was very good.
It's not awkward at all. It's nice. It's nice.
It's very good.
Sweat on.
Me too.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Love you, man.
I love you too.
Ross! Your second pitch, please.
On this week's Raw, we saw another badass promo featuring Shinsuke Nakamura, who once again was speaking about Seth Rollins' bad back, which is broken in no less than two places. I'm going to need Shinsuke Nakamura to dress like he was in this promo for his match against Rollins. He's going to need his fists taped like they were. He's going to need to don those fighting shorts. He looked the part in that promo, and I think the days of the Elvis onesie should be a thing of the past with this new heel persona. I think he looked a lot more menacing as a fighting man, kicking all that sort of thing. During the special ring announcements in the middle of the ring, just before the match gets started, Samantha Irvin's in the process of saying Seth freaking Rollins like only she can, when all of a sudden, Kinshasa to the spine. Rollins is Dune. The match hasn't even started. A valiant babyface, Rollins stumbles up to his feet, but his back is absolutely buggered. He's having to use the ropes as a Zimmer frame. Another Kinshasa to the back. Rollins is absolutely beside himself in pain. There's no way he can continue, but he does, because babyface. But he literally can't do anything. Nakamura absolutely wipes the floor with Rollins and wins the title with aplomb.
Oh, baby.
It's a long and painful beatdown with everything focused on the spine because, as I said earlier, and as Rollins has said with his own mouth, in public, it's broken in two places. I think we end Rollins' title reign before it even gets the chance of becoming stale and give Nakamura the kick up the arse he needs. This is the first time I think Nakamura feels like he could actually be a world champion, sort of like presence, gimmick, whatever you want to put it. This package is this new man, this new evil man. It just works for me. And after he wins the title, I need Nakamura to do one thing as part of my pitch, and that's to get on the microphone and say, thank you, Logan Paul.
The extra
bit of spicy heat, then it can go, wabba, up there in the Tron, look, everybody, and play the clip from Impulsive where Seth Rollins reveals the severity of his broken back, which is what Nakamura has used as research. Nakamura laughs and leaves. End of payback pitch.
It's a yes from me.
Ooh, I didn't expect that.
I like it. Well, because of the taking the belt off Rollins.
Yeah.
No, I think the your point about ending it before it has even a chance to get stale is good. And I think that Nakamura, yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Has never been as presented.
Legitimate.
Yeah. Maybe like his NXT run, but not on the main roster. No. Definitely not, yeah.
It's a yes from me because I do want to see that. However, I slightly disagree with him feeling like he's there. I think he's on the way to getting there. Mm-hmm. I think there's not been enough build to finally make him feel that legitimate, because he's literally he came out of that feud with Bronson Reed and Tommaso Ciampa, and then kind of moved into this one, right? Mm. And it feels like a weird bit of a passover.
It's quite there. Radical. It's quite a rad pitch.
It's quite a rad.
We can all thank Logan Paul.
Yeah. I do genuinely really like the idea of him becoming the world heavyweight champion, and then finally doing what I think so many of us want to see Nakamura do on the main roster, and actually have like a really dominant run, have some tremendous matches with lots and lots of different competitors, and just continue this mean streak as well. So it's a big yes from me.
Delightful.
Delightful.
Thank you.
Oh, man, this one was a stretch and a half.
Okay.
Let me tell you, a stretch and a half. I was struggling.
I'm excited.
But we'll see, right? We're going to the steel cage match between Becky and Trish for this one. However, before the match, there's a brief moment backstage between Trish and Zoe Stark. Obviously, there's been a little bit of malfunction at the junction recently between the heels, as demonstrated in the Falls Count Anywhere match on Raw this past Monday. So Trish tells Zoe to hang back. She appreciates all the help she's given her recently, but to close the chapter for good, she must do this on her own terms to ensure no distractions and no mishaps. This is the moment she's been waiting for.
Trish was the one mishappening though on Raw. She nearly killed Zoe.
It's been back and forth.
My God.
She's the one with seniority here. She's the one laying down the law.
Thank you, Trish.
Do you reckon that was planned? It can't have been planned.
Maybe not as
I don't know.
The chair in her head.
Yeah. Maybe it was talked about, but yeah, as Jack said.
Who was it who got injured? Oh, it was Woods. Woods got whiplash from a chair being thrown at him.
On SmackDown?
On Raw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
He says it was a real.
No, kayfabe thing, injury. Or is it
real? Oh, is it kayfabe?
Is it real?
Oh, damn it. Me and Tom reported it as real.
I've not seen the story.
Oh, fair enough.
It could be real.
It was from his own tweet. Ah. We could have been worked.
You could have been worked, brother.
Damn. Anyway.
After an initial bit of back chat from Stark, Trish stops her and says, she won't hear anything else, no distractions. Don't you dare come out or I'll get you. Match time comes, and it's a competitive back and forth between Trish and Becky. Trish has stated, obviously, in the past, she's wanted to have a steel cage match for the longest time, so she's really putting everything into this one and pulling it out of the bag as well. There's a moment that culminates in both women being absolutely spent after many stratisfactions and manhandle slams in which neither competitor can make the cover on the other. Cue Zoe Stark, who despite being told obviously by Trish not to interfere, she does so anyway. She's got a kendo stick in her hand. Trish goes off on Stark, asking what she's doing out here. And Zoe is obviously, she's like, well, I'm here to help you. You clearly can't get the job done. You need my help to win. Trish tries to brush this off, but and I'm sort of imagining, you know, the Money in the Bank briefcase spots recently where it like gets tossed in, but then someone else
grabs it.
So like Zoe slides the kendo stick in between the gaps in the cage, and Becky manages to intercept it with a foot, and she picks it up and starts wailing on Trish Stratus, right? Zoe's beside herself. It's exactly what Trish didn't want to happen. So instead, she plows through the referees, opens the cage door, and starts attacking Lynch from behind. Now, Trish recuperates, though, and pulls Stark away from Becky. And they're getting into a heated exchange, but as they do so, and unbeknownst to them, here comes a returning Lita. She's back in this whole thing. God. But without the music, though, because this is a vital part of this, right, at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So she scales the cage wall and does a mental crossbody, right, off the top of the cage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, okay, all right. If she's up to it, all right, she's up to it. But, they're arguing. So I guess the music would be an indication that
Winter's back.
She's like scaling the wall. She goes for the crossbody, but Trish manages to get out of the way just in time, only for Starks to get hit. Lita then throws Starks out of the cage, and the beatdown between those two continues at ringside. Trish looks on and she sees, though, obviously because Zoe Starks comes through the cage door. Trish looks on and sees the cage door now wide open, and she has the chance just to win this, just to finish it, done, get out there, finish. She looks back at Becky, she looks back at the door, and instead calls for the ref to close the door.
Trish.
The thing The thing, I put the thing is going to continue. The match is going to continue. No cheap wins, doing this on her own terms, like she said. Becky nods in approval and the two get back into it, but it's quite a quick exchange as after a slight back and forth, Trish tries to go for the stratosphere in the corner. Becky manages to reverse it, like hoi her up in the corner and do like a avalanche manhandle slam for the 1-2-3. The man wins. On the outside, however, Stark has got the better of Lita. Storming in the ring, she comes and she batters Lynch from behind again as she celebrates her win. She looks down at Trish and begins to just berate her. She told Trish she couldn't win without her help. Trish needs Zoe. Trish is the one that should be thanking her after all. Little does Zoe know, though, right, that while she's talking smack to Trish, Lita and Becky are slowly closing in on her, right? When she finally does realize, she's soon quick to try and calm both women down, only for Trish to rise up Keith Lee style behind Zoe Stark. Whoa!
But like shorter than Zoe. Okay.
Need to mess with the camera angles there. She turns to Trish and tries to pass it off as a joke. I'm joking here, hey, I put in there. Only for Trish to respond with a chick kick. Lita hits a twist of fate and Becky follows up with a manhandle slam. Like a finisher merry-go-round. There's a tense back and forth stare between Trish and Becky before the Hall of Famer grabs the man's wrist and hoists it in the air to celebrate the victory and closing off this chapter for good.
Tell you what,
like
it was a yes until the very end.
And oh, really? I apologize.
Sorry. I love the idea of Zoe Stark being the one to come out of this looking good and being elevated, but then she got beaten up at the end by all of the already popular established women. It was there for so long. Bang, and then I've done that there at the end.
I see. I wrote what I wrote, you know what I mean?
I still like the majority of the pitch.
Yeah.
I agree with Jack. It's gone limp at the end.
Yeah.
It's been rock hard all the way through. And then,
when it's supposed to matter,
exactly,
it's gone limp.
It has.
As I said, I was stretching.
It happens to us all, Andrew. Don't worry about
it. Time.
Blue Chew sponsors.
My next pitch is Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I said, while I'd love for Shinsuke to win and think this is already my favorite version of him in WWE, very similar to what Ross has said, I think that's the opposite of what I said after Ross's pitch. I think it's been a bit of a short build. Turns out I agree with you, Andrew.
Oh, there
you?
We go.
A great build to elevate him as a believable threat in such a short space of time, but I'm not sure if... I was in between the two of you, but I'm not sure if it's maybe too sudden for him to become champion. So I think after a grueling match where Seth sells the back a lot, and there's a great deal of jeopardy, the champion just about pulls it out of the bag. Keen to keep this Nakamura momentum going, though, I thought maybe he could feud with an elevated babyface, but one that he can beat. I looked through the Raw roster, and there's literally no singles babyface as high on the card that Nakamura should be beating. All of the faces are either like Cody, who can't be losing a feud right now, or faces who desperately need a win themselves. WWE, I've said, is a heel-dominated landscape right now.
Oh.
The only one I could find that maybe makes sense is if Shinsuke was to go after Sammy, but obviously he's one half of the tag team champions, but it would kind of like be a callback to their NXT match. You know. Anyway, Seth wins and celebrates. He gets on the mic, more emotional than usual. He's not as... he says, I don't know how much longer I can do this before I need to take time off and recover. And heck, I don't think you'd say hang. And heck, I don't know how much longer I can do this full stop. But mark my words, as long as I'm your world heavyweight champion, I'm going to keep fighting each and every night in front of the WWE universe. The lights go down.
Excuse me?
When they come back on, a hooded man is in the ring behind Seth, who turns round right into... Slap of the leg. It's a Claymore kick.
Hey!
What I've done here is I've realized is I've taken your pitches and sort of mashed them together.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. It's the best of both worlds. Drew measures Seth as he rises. Another claim. No, he's about 6'3".
Giant tape measure.
He measures Seth as in... No. He stalks Seth as he rises. Another Claymore drags him back up by his hair and shoves him limply into the ropes. He rebounds slowly, and you know when they're like, "Oh, I can't even stand up." Into a third Claymore. Drew gets on the mic and basically cuts the same promo you wrote.
Cool.
So Seth Rollins, but it's not a Cody; it's a Seth.
Yeah.
At this moment in our careers, you are where I'm supposed to be. 3 years ago, I was at the peak of my ability. I was on my way to winning the biggest prize in this sport, and then the world stopped. But I didn't stop. I beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and became champion, and nobody was there to see it. I had the peak of my career robbed from me, and when the fans all came back, it was Seth Rollins who swooped in and became their hero. I hate you, Seth, and now I'm taking back my spot. Seth wobbles back to his feet, big headbutt, and Drew walks off. And that sets up the next feud. And I think maybe Drew should win.
I think that's better than mine by far. No. I think that that's a better way to do it.
To match the two.
Better. Yeah, it's a more palatable opponent for Drew.
I think that's and I think him as a heel world heavyweight champion would be delightful.
Yeah, the lights out thing was just that Drew did this thing in ICW and in WCPW where he came back like that with a hood on, and then but that was a face one.
Flipped.
Yeah, you're flipped. That's
what he said.
Is that the WCPW one?
Yeah, he said it in both, I think.
I was watching the ICW, one of the ICW documentaries recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the one where Drew comes back as well.
Oh, they went mad for him.
Which was cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was nice.
Nice. Good for him.
Yep.
But I think he could also be a great heel.
Oh, we know he's a good heel anyway.
Yeah. When he was Shane McMahon's henchman.
Yep.
Oh,
he's
God.
Got... an opportunity to do more than just that.
Yeah.
As a heel, yes.
It was him and Corbin, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my weird times, God. Wasn't it? Yeah.
2019
without
was great.
Much reason for it either.
No.
Just to help Shane be the top heel in WWE.
He's the best wrestler in the world.
Yes.
As that is the best television in the world.
It certainly is.
Annie has come clean. I've made a mess with my third pitch. I wrote the third pitch as if Payback was happening after next week's Raw. So I've had to quickly rewrite it.
Is this what you were typing there?
It was, yeah.
I thought you were like checking your emails or something.
I read the first line. I was like, oh dear. Yesterday was a very long day at work. I've made a right mess, but hopefully I've rectified it by just doing something utterly and completely poo-housery, we'll call it, because I've just gone with Chad Gable versus Gunter for the IC title. Should be moved to Payback, like it should be.
Yes.
This barn burner is burning barns, as it would do involving these two, and once again, that silent assassin Giovanni Vinci interferes in a match at the point where it looks like a member of the Imperium is on the brink of losing. This would be the second week in a row where Vinci has done something like this after he was threatened by Ludwig Kaiser two Raws ago, I should say, not necessarily 2 weeks ago. Ludwig was going to make things right in for the Ring General by beating Chad on Monday's Raw, which he didn't do because what happened? Giovanni Vinci interfered, didn't he?
Giovanni.
He sure did.
Ludwig also laid down the challenge to Giovanni Vinci in that promo. He said, what's Giovanni going to do? And this is what it looks like Giovanni's going to do, just stop people from losing, basically. The fact he's now besmirched two fantastic sporting occasions, this is Giovanni Vinci, because he has got, obviously, interfered in the Payback match, I've gotten there, and the one on Raw before Payback. The fact he's besmirched two fantastic sporting occasions and brought the sacred sport of professional wrestling into disrepute, even though it's benefited his stable, is enough to get the saucy Italian model booted from Imperium by Gunter. Bye-bye, bitch, says Gunter. Gunter then takes the mic and says, no. This is after Giovanni Vinci's calls DQ. We're not doing it this way. We're going to go again until we get a winner right here in effing Pittsburgh. We're running back all in.
5 minutes isn't long enough.
Give them half an hour. Master Gable almost produces a masterpiece and almost ends Gunter's record-breaking or would-be record-breaking reign at the time. He almost does it but doesn't do it. Gunter obviously then goes on to break the record next week, but I've just... quickly scrambled as I realised the mess in my pitch and said that maybe Gunter could hand over the title to Gable because now he's broken the record, he's achieved what he wants to do and he wants to move on to bigger and better things, and he believes, you know, with the sacred sport of professional wrestling, that Gable is a willing guy to take the title forwards for the months and years to come, weeks and months to come, I should probably say. And the fact that it's in Pittsburgh, you could maybe even have Kurt Angle come out and pad chat on the arse and run back what should have been done when Angle had an illegitimate son pass the torch. I'm expecting two no's, but I've tried to rectify my own mess.
I'll tell you what, it's the opposite of what I did with Andrews. It was a no mainly, and then bang. And the thing that flipped it for me was because I was thinking, Vinci interfering is a bit annoying. I'd like to just see a no shenanigans match between the two. And then that's what, as if you'd read my mind, you went, but instead they do. So, yeah. It's
thank
a yes.
you, MJF.
Yeah, I like it as well. I'm not too sold on I didn't make this up in my head, right? There was a part there where you said Gunter would then just pass the belt. I kind of like it and I kind of don't like that at the same time.
I think it puts over Gable more than any other win would do.
How heelish is that from Andrew? I don't know. It was that ridiculous. I'm not sure if it was real that you said that.
No, I didn't.
That's just because I mumble,
isn't it? I just make stuff up in my head sometimes. I'm not too sure about that bit, but the whole part overall, I did enjoy.
I wasn't too sure about that bit either, but then I thought... Asuka and Ember Moon did it and it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I don't know, though. I feel like... I guess both ways, it still puts someone over, but I think someone definitively beating Gunther for the title.
Maybe if he vacated it and then Gable won like the vacant like the match for the yeah, whatever.
The initial pitch was obviously the rematch is happening on next week's Raw, as we're sat here. Then in my pitch, Payback was happening after that Raw. Right. So they'd have the DQ finish on Raw and yeah. they'd have the proper match on Payback. Yeah. But again, that's not how time works, and I've just not looked at the calendar properly.
It was good, though.
Jeez. Yeah, it was all right.
Sorry for typing while you were talking.
Oh, no, don't worry. It was all worth it in the end. Andrew.
Yes.
Go on, then.
It's a silly one, my final one. It's very small as well, compared to most pitches these days. Very small. Anyway, right. Throughout the night at Payback, there's, again, backstage segments. We like them, don't we? We either see Tommaso Ciampa handing out flyers of one missing Johnny Gargano, or we see one of the flyers, you know, quite prominently in the background of certain shots and stuff. There's a specific moment, however, when being interviewed about their upcoming tag team title match. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn reference the posters towards the end of the segment, but nothing really comes of it. They just off they go, gone. We then head towards the Undisputed Tag Team title match, the street fight between the Judgment Day and Zayn and Owens later in the evening. This thing spills out into the streets and out of the arena. Even there we see these Johnny Gargano flyers like, Tommaso's been out, he's been painting the town paper. On car windows in the parking lot, on lampposts that both teams pass when they're outside, the whole shebang, right? And as they fight back into the arena, however, after they've been sort of out there doing all the bits, running each other over with cars and whatever else, they fight back into the arena and through the gorilla position, where once again, they pass another one of the flyers. But whilst fighting through the curtains, the shot lingers for just a brief moment, and we see an arm enter the shot and pull the flyer off the wall before it quickly cuts back to the action. We don't really see too much of that. And in this pitch, it's the Judgment Day that come out on top, because I would like to see them win the tag team titles, please, thank you. They just don't stop at that, though, as Rhea and Dom get involved. It's a big celebration. The Judgment Day is back together proper. Yay, it's lovely. And they put the big old prolonged beat down on Kevin and Sammy until no one will survive. Blares through the arena. Ciampa appears on the ramp, and then only swiftly to be followed by the DIY theme song and a returning Johnny Gargano flanking his side as well. DIY are finally here. They chase the heels away, and then they fight in the coming weeks, and it's great.
I mean, yeah.
It's a yeah.
Yeah. It's a yes.
It's a yes. Yeah.
For me as well. Yeah.
Do we
yeah.
also get to see them take on Owens and Zayn as well?
Yes. Yes. I think so. I'd like to see that too. Because that was the thing. I was thinking, like, I really would rather see DIY versus Kevin and Sammy for the tag team titles. But I feel like when they come back, they might be more baby-facey.
It's true.
When Gargano comes back.
It doesn't, it could just be a big lads, old friends fighting each other. But no, I get what you mean.
I'm intrigued to see what it's like when Gargano does return, considering the lack of reactions he was getting before he left.
Mm. Do you think there'll be more of a reaction with him and Tommaso is DIY again?
I don't know.
It'll be about the same.
Talk to how many NXT fans will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. It's a yes anyway.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Right. My last pitch. At Payback, Paul Heyman and Solo are there because let's say Solo has a big match, maybe against someone like AJ Styles. He wins. But backstage, we see that Jimmy Uso is there and is paranoid throughout the show. Whenever we like find him in the arena, he's like, oh, he's looking around because he's wary of an attack either from Roman, because he left the bloodline, remember, or from his brother because he betrayed him also. Backstage, Heyman and Solo have a tense meeting with Jimmy after Solo's win. Paul says that the tribal chief wants to pass on a message to Jimmy. He extends his gratitude to Jimmy for his help at SummerSlam and wants Jimmy to think very carefully about his next move. Does he want to be out there alone with enemies on all sides, or does he want to do what he knows is best and come back to the bloodline? It's up to him. Jimmy's conflicted and Heyman says, I need your answer by the end of the night. Like an hour or so later, it's just before the main event, Heyman meets with Jimmy in the car park and Jimmy gives him his answer. He's thought about it and he's going to give the bloodline another go. Paul is all smiles, but Jimmy still looks around nervously and Paul's like, hey, you've made the right choice. And hey, relax, will you? And Jimmy gets into his car and drives off. Heyman's still grinning and he's just quipped and all that. And then he's grabbed from behind by a hooded figure and bundled into a car which speeds off into the night. Jey Uso has kidnapped Paul Heyman.
Oh my goodness.
And then I've just put Paul Heyman on a forklift match at Fastlane. So between Jimmy and Jey. That's the end of the pitch.
Yeah, something needs to happen just to keep it going. And that is the best thing.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
It would definitely be a surprise. for that to happen in the story.
It would. I just like the idea of Heyman on a forklift during the match.
That would be pretty good as well.
And the brilliant thing was, if he keeps him hostage, therefore Paul won't have access to his hair dye or razor, so Paul looked very different.
And also the bloodline won't have access to their wise man either.
Yes. So I didn't even think about that.
But the hair dye.
That's good too.
Someone who I have a theory dyed their hair recently, having seen him briefly in person, in passing, was Dave Meltzer.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see him?
That guy, the boot polish.
Is it the boot polish?
Yeah. It was looking dark and young.
Yeah, he's 60s though, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not going to have a go
is
at
he
him.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. He's in tremendous shape for his age.
He looks it
wow,
as well,
his
yeah.
forearms are like cannons. But Jay kidnaps Heyman. I was thinking about when Edge kidnapped Bearer.
Oh, yeah.
Or when Austin kidnapped Scott Hall. Yeah, kidnappings are fun in wrestling.
Yeah, in wrestling.
So, yes. There we go.
That was
then.
Cool, yeah. That was good.
Those were our 9 pitches for Payback this weekend. And there'll be all sorts of coverage happening for not only that, but for AEW All Out as well. It's a busy one.
Yeah,
it's all the normal coverage we do, but for both shows.
Yes, what happened at WTF Moments, predictions. Mm-hmm. There'll also be AEW All Out pitches going up, I think, the day tomorrow, after this one goes up. Yep. And are there reactions for both shows on Saturday and Sunday?
So me and Adam on the Saturday for Payback YouTube. YouTube.com/cultaholic/live
We'll
get there on Saturday, and then you'll have Tom and Fraser for the All Out ones as well on Sunday.
Fantastic. Sounds good. Cheers, everybody. Well, in reality, we're going to sit here for another hour and then do All Out. But for you, we're saying goodbye. Thanks for watching. Leave your pitches in the comments below. And remember, life's a pitch.
And then you die.
It's working well, though.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good. It's catchy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.